The Privilege of Ministry. August 13, 1912. Typed. To sanitarium workers. To the workers in our institutions, I am instructed to say, truth must be wisely, kindly, tenderly presented. In the 14th chapter of John, there are precious lessons, valuable instruction, which should be appreciated by every child of God who desires to minister to others the comfort and grace of God. Let these lessons be impressed upon the mind. Over and over again, let them be repeated. The Lord has brought us into possession of our health institutions that we may learn to bring to the sick in the most attractive way truths of heavenly origin. We must never lose sight of the fact that these institutions are instrumentalities in the hands of God for bringing the light of truth to those who are in darkness. The Lord desires to make every physician and every nurse a minister of healing. Seek to give to the sick the highest kind of knowledge by bringing to their understanding the lessons of the Word of Truth. Pray with them and for them. Thus, while you bring them back to life and help by ministering to their physical needs, you may win them to Christ to be partakers of the life that is eternal. In his work of ministry for the sick and afflicted, Christ stands before the world as the greatest medical missionary the world has ever known, and the pattern for every Christian missionary worker. He knew the right word to speak to each sufferer, and he spoke not only that which brought healing of body, but conviction of soul and spiritual enlightenment. He brought to the understanding of those who sought him a knowledge of self and of the soul's highest need. Christ's discourses were the spiritual explanation of his ministry for the afflicted. He himself was the great ideal of righteousness to those for whom he ministered. Thus he planted the seeds of truth in human hearts. Often in the care of the suffering, much attention is given to minor matters, while the patient's need of the great, all-saving truths of the gospel, which would minister to both soul and body, is forgotten. When you neglect to offer prayer for the sick, you deprive them of great blessings. For angels of God are waiting to minister to those souls in response to your petitions. In every possible and pleasant way, those who know the truth should seek to reveal the power of the grace of Christ. As they exemplify truth in their daily walk and conversation, they will exert a holy influence, and the grace of Christ will cooperate with human effort. Working intelligently for the recovery of body and soul from the results of sin, they will be true workers together with Christ, and will be instruments in his hands to show forth his praise and salvation. The exercise of wisdom and good judgment will accomplish much for God. As his servants work out the requirements of the gospel according to their ability, God will make them a praise to his name. He purposes that through the exemplification of the truth in the lives of his followers, souls shall be won to him. All who profess godliness and a knowledge of the truth for this time are to communicate the same to those with whom they associate. But the fullness of a Savior's love is not expressed as it should be, and as a result, in places where a rich harvest might be gathered for God, there is seen a dearth. Found wanting. Daniel 5, verse 27, are the words written against the names of many who might have done a work that would have won the approval of heaven. There is needed, to unite with human effort and ability, a larger measure of the grace of Christ. It is God's purpose that our health institutions shall become very effectual means for bringing souls to the light of truth. Much more should be done to encourage. Only when we do our best for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom can the words be spoken to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Only as we exemplify the spirit of truth in our lives Can Christ's Spirit work with us to convict hearts and convert souls to the gospel? Christ desires to work in many ways through the men of his appointment. Every worker in our sanitariums should regard himself as Christ's minister to teach and to comfort, to let the light shine forth in word and deed. Those who are blessed with the light of truth are to reflect light. In taking the name of Christ upon them, they have pledged themselves to become laborers together with God, and a spirit of consecrated labor should be manifest in working out the Lord's plans. They are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, presenting the beauty of his life in their own example of earnest, self-sacrificing labor.
I pray that the Holy Spirit may lend its sanctifying power to the workers in our institutions. My brethren and sisters, arouse and become laborers together with him who gave his life for the saving of the world. We must not lessen our efforts at this time. Christ asks you to labor with all the energies of heart and soul and mind. If you will lend the aid of your influence and effort to the work of Christ, angels will unite with you, making you a saving power for Christ. Parents need to become more earnest followers of the Lord Jesus. They need to study his character and work for themselves, remembering that they are to be laborers with him for the salvation of others. Parents, train your children to keep before them the pattern Christ Jesus. Teach them to dwell upon his virtues, that they may grow up to the perfect stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. There is a true and a false representation of Christ to be seen in the lives of professing Christians. But the Lord's true people on the earth are those who serve him with all their powers. The Lord now asks those parents who have allowed their children to grow up in a careless, self-pleasing way to make a decided change. No longer allow them grow up as the wicked, who have not the fear of God before them, but train them to rule their lives by the pure principles of the Word of God. Truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. If our parents are learning of the great teacher, if they will work out the purpose of God for the increase of truth and righteousness in the earth, the Lord will fulfill to them his gracious promise. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Isaiah 44, verse 3-5. Not all who claim to be Sabbath keepers are allowing their lives to be molded by the message of truth that has called us out from the world as a separate people. Some are leading others into false paths. Let our workers in every line remember that to them the Lord has committed large responsibilities, and that it behooves them to walk circumspectly, making diligent work for eternity. I would rejoice greatly to see our people putting forth earnest efforts to overcome and to teach others the joy of overcoming. When those who profess to believe the truth are truly converted, the fruits of righteousness will appear in their lives. A revelation of the love of God will be given in earnest missionary work for others. Believers will overcome the selfishness which has disqualified them from being workers together with Christ. Then will be done the work that God desires to see accomplished by his church. A holy influence will go forth from them to the world, and souls will be turned from sin to righteousness. I urge you to study the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Our work for this time is to be a repetition of that brought to view in these words of the prophet. A message is to be proclaimed whose earnestness will stir hearts. There is to be no departure from the instruction of the word. Ministers, physicians, nurses, parents, workers in every line are to labor with a constantly enlarging understanding of what is truth.